out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? You say my opinions are not fact. I wanna ask you, is it opinion and is death in tax? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. Come about a dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? You say reality's what you please. I wanna ask you, does water freeze at 32 degrees? A dollar in, a dollar out.
Interesting to remember this piece of music. Been a long time since I've used it. Guy sent me a bunch of his CDs back in 95. A lot of years ago. Willie Edwards. Cab driver from back east. Did some amazing tunes. I've still got them all. Well, good evening. Jeff Bennett here on this 24th day of the month. As many of you know, typically on Wednesdays we do health-related, cancer-related programs, etc. And I announced yesterday I would not be doing that today. I've got too much stuff that's been building up. And one oddball piece that doesn't fit the mold for the rest of the two-hour program today. But I came across it last night and thought I would at least share parts of it with you. A piece that I published over on Sierra Madre Precious Metals last night. And entitled Bring Back Gold. And it was a very interesting piece to me. The is written by Lou Rockwell. And I learned some things about Lou Rockwell I'd never known before. And I'm not going to share it with you right now. We'll be doing that more over the next few days. But he was one of the founders of the Mises Foundation. And I was never aware of that. I took a look at markets today, and I will tell you, I've had a very, very strange day. I had a very tough time sleeping last night. I got off the air last night. And went and passed out for a few hours. Got up. I got so much stuff going on. I can't shut the brain down. And at the most god-awful hour, I just could not sleep again last night. Got up, went to Denny's. Oh, that was a mistake. They've got this horrible, horrible server that is just such an obnoxious piece of crap that I am convinced she's on drugs. And she just cannot concentrate on anything. And I pull up there at 2:00 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. And she's sitting out in front having a smoke. And she's supposed to put the cigarette out and come up and serve me, wait on me. And she didn't do it. Well, thank God the manager was still there. But it just is insane. And what she made me was so deplorable. She didn't have hot coffee, so I didn't get coffee. So I decided to order a hot chocolate. Oh, my God, she destroyed that thing. Unbelievable. Now I got home. I think I published something. Tried to go back to sleep. Finally got to sleep. Maybe I had a couple hours. I don't know. This is what I've been going through. Lou Rockwell. Simple. in these days of rampant inflation, and you know, we talk about a lot of this stuff yesterday, but we're not going to concentrate a full hour or 2 hours on this stuff today. Just going to give you some basic introduction. Invite you to go read the column for yourself if you have an interest to do so. In these days of rampant inflation, it is imperative we return to the gold standard and the real thing, too. And by this, Lou means the classical gold standard, not the so-called gold exchange standard with no fractional reserve banking, just as the great Murray Rothbard wanted. In what follows, he's going to discuss some of the economic issues, but it's important to realize that it is a moral issue as well. He speaks about the difference between the classical gold standard and the fake gold standard. Well, that could be a technical issue, but it's one of vital importance. Joe Salerno, a leading contemporary Austrian school authority on monetary economics and the academic vice president of the Mises Institute, explains that the historical embodiment of monetary freedom is the gold standard. The era of its greatest flourishing was not coincidentally the 19th century, the century in which classical liberal ideology reigned, a century of unprecedented material progress and peaceful relations between nations. Unfortunately, the monetary freedom represented by the gold standard, along with many other freedoms of the classical liberal era, was brought to a calamitous end by World War I. We discussed some of that yesterday. Also, and not coincidentally, he continues, this was the war to make the world safe for mass democracy, a political system which we have all learned by now is the great enemy of freedom in all its social and economic manifestations. That is one of the most powerful statements in this column. But he continues by saying, now it's true the gold standard did not disappear overnight, but limped along in weakened form into the early 1930s. But this was not the pre-1914 classical gold standard in which the actions of private citizens operating on free markets ultimately controlled the supply and value of money and governments had very little influence. Oh, under this monetary system, if people in one nation demanded more money to carry out more transactions or because they were more uncertain of the future, they would export more goods and financial assets to the rest of the world, while importing less. As a result, additional gold would flow in through a surplus in the balance of payments, increasing the nation's money supply. And sometimes private banks tried to inflate the money supply by issuing additional banknotes and deposits, something that we used to call fiduciary media. And they promised to pay gold, but unbacked by gold reserves. No, they lent those notes and deposits to either businesses or the government. But as soon as the borrowers spent those additional fractional reserve notes and deposits, domestic incomes and prices would begin to rise. And as a result, foreigners would reduce their purchases of the nation's exports, and domestic residents would increase their spending on the relatively cheap foreign imports. Gold would flow out of the coffers of the nation's banks to finance the resulting trade deficit as the excess paper notes and checks were returned to their issuers for redemption in gold. But to check this outflow of gold reserves, which made their depositors very nervous, the banks would contract the supply of fiduciary media, bringing about a monetary deflation and an ensuing depression. Temporarily chastened by the experience, banks would then refrain from again expanding credit for a while. And if the Treasury tried to issue convertible notes, only partially backed by gold, as it occasionally did, it too would face the consequences and be forced to restrain its note within narrow bounds. And thus, governments and commercial banks under the gold standard did not have much influence over the money supply in the long run. The only sizable inflations that occurred during the 19th century did so during wartime, when almost all belligerent nations would go off the gold standard. And they did so in order to conceal the staggering costs of war from their citizens by printing money rather than raising taxes to pay for it. Interesting stuff. We begin to go into this much deeper, and our author begins to discuss about the Great Britain experience, a substantial inflation at the beginning of the 19th century during the period of the Napoleonic Wars when it had suspended the convertibility of the British pound into gold. And then likewise, the United States and the Confederate States of America both suffered a devastating hyperinflation during the War for Southern Independence, because both sides issued inconvertible treasury notes to finance their budget deficits. You see, it's because politicians and their privileged banks were unable to tamper with and inflate a gold money that prices in the United States and in Great Britain at the close of the 19th century were roughly the same as they were at the beginning of the century. And so within weeks of the outbreak of World War I, all belligerent nations departed from the gold standard. And needless to say, by the war's end, the paper fiat currencies of all these nations were in the throes of inflations of varying degrees of severity, with the German hyperinflation that culminated in 1923 being the worst, believe it or not. And to put their currencies back in order, to restore the public's confidence in them, one country after another reinstituted the gold standard during the 1920s. Well, by the time we reach the early 1930s in this country, we know what happened. We know the direction that this nation went. They've never, ever recovered from. Thanks, Mr. FDR and company. That's as far as I'm going to go with this topic today. I strongly invite you, and it's a lengthy piece. Good question later in the article when Rockwell asks, if we want a true gold standard, can we get back to it? Of course we can, he says. The inflationary monetary policy we have today is the key to the financial elite's control over us. And without it, brain-dead Biden and his gang of neocon controllers could not function. We must prevail, and we can prevail. And those same words were issued by Lou Rockwell as far back as 2002, when he stated, "The power to create money is the most ominous power ever bestowed on any human being. This power is rightly criminalized when it's exercised by private individuals, and even today, everyone knows why counterfeiting is wrong and knavish. Far fewer are aware of the role of the federal government, the Fed, and the fiat dollar in making possible the largest counterfeiting operation in human history, which is called the world dollar standard. Few still understand the connection between this officially sanctioned criminality and the business cycle, the rise and collapse of the stock market, and the continued erosion of the value of the dollar." You think about that. That statement by Rockwell was made 22 years ago. And the continued erosion of the value of the dollar goes on. What's it going to take to sort all of this out? Is it too late? I think there's a good chance of that. Rockwell concludes by saying, let's do everything we can to end the Fed and restore the real gold standard. Can that happen? Personally, I think it is too late. Quick numbers, and we're going to move on. Silver sits today down a little bit at $27.22 an ounce. Gold went down again today. Currently sits at $23.19. Good. That makes it more affordable for me and for you. If you have some interest in discussing some gold, some silver acquisitions, do give us a call, and we'll see what's out there for you. Who's texting the living daylights out of me? Is it live or is it Memorex? It's live, Southern. Who else is going on here? Oh, I know that. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate that. Nope, I'm going live today. Whatever the heck that means. You know, over these past months, the verbiage that continues to... What's the proper word I'm looking for? Babble out of Biden's mouth becomes quite interesting. I'm an ordinary guy burning down the house. Hold tight. Wait till the party's over. Hold tight. We're in for nasty weather. There has got to be a way. Burning down the house. Joe Biden. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just kidding. It's lyrics from a Talking Heads song. Oh, we might have to play that to end this hour. After this past couple of weeks watching the recent deal to fund both wars in Ukraine and Israel, and even send aid to the Hamas terrorists without offering a single hint at securing America's borders, my friends, no one should be under any illusions that Republicans or a knight in shining armor are coming to save them, their families, and America from the current destructive malaise that's been allowed to overtake this nation. In simple terms of our author, Justin Smith, we're in deep shit up to our eyeballs. And the fog isn't lifting anytime soon that has so clouded the minds of so many. I hate to even call them this, our so-called countrymen. Although I sure as heck don't claim the damn sorry, exceedingly stupid rat bastards. Both the Democrats and the Republicans bring their own practical or particular brand of betrayal to the table. We've recently watched Congress refuse to hold Mayorkas accountable for his high treason regarding our border security. And the Democrats refuse to call his intentional malfeasance for the felony that it is. But not to be outdone, Speaker Johnson seemed unwilling to actually do the right thing and refused to move funding for Ukraine and Israel until the federal government was compelled to stop this invasion by illegals to begin with. Both parties have now put America at risk on multiple fronts. In part, my friends, we're currently at risk of an economic collapse in the not-too-distant future. And we're most certainly at risk of unprecedented social and cultural change, the great replacement, as it were, by way of this massive illegal alien population making its way across our borders as we speak. And cheered on by the opponents of assimilation. The consequences are dire and deadly to our nation. If the Democrats and their rhino allies can continue along their chosen path of wanton disregard of the Constitution and the rules that supposedly guide Congress, the President, and our high courts, our political union, my friends, is fraying to its core, and it may not be long before the tenuous cord that binds us finally suffers a complete break. Oh, there really exists no common ground between the two parties today, other than each party's love for big spending bills and the expansion of their own powers. Isn't it interesting that Speaker Johnson also betrayed America by backing the FISA reauthorization bill? You know, we elect these people into office to do particular jobs. once we've cast the vote and they've taken office, we tend to instantly ignore what they're doing. It's unbelievably sad. And so, here we sit, watching the House burn down. The House of Representatives, the Senate, America itself. America's House is being consumed by a raging hot fire of Marxist, Maoist, Islamofascist, anti-American, Democratic Party radicalism, and Republican cowardly fecklessness, and too often complicity. My friends, America cannot be built back better when everything the Biden regime currently supports is damaging some part of her infrastructure. The country sure as hell can't be built back better or made great again when a Republican speaker with the purse strings in hand, refuses to put America first over Ukraine and Israel in order to secure the wide open southern border, which further subverts traditional America, tells our enemies, both foreign and domestic, that America is ripe for a final death blow. You know, it's kind of well and fine to wish to help our Israeli allies, with whom we do have standing treaties that oblige us to send them a certain amount of military support each year, under a $38 billion memorandum that was signed in 2016. And yet it's like having a blazing red-hot poker stuck straight up the taxpayers' collective posteriors. To discover that the United States is sending much more than required to Israel by way of a new bill put together by Speaker Mikey Johnson, the Democrats and the Rhinos, just days ago on April the 20th, $9 billion for the total of $95 billion for both the Ukraine and Israel is all going to humanitarian aid for Gaza, which is the same as saying more military armaments for Hamas terrorists. And yet these damn rat bastards in Congress can't see fit to set aside money for actually securing our own borders, or demand that our borders be sealed and secured and the alien invasion halted before one damn red cent is spent anywhere else. It doesn't matter that 112 Republican rats voted against the bill. 101 Republicans voted for it when there shouldn't have been even one vote in favor. Not until our borders are secure. Especially when Johnson and the Republican rats could have used their House majority, slim as it is, as an effective tool to force the Democratic Party commies to agree to finally close the borders all the way down, other than necessary commerce, for a very lengthy period of time. And so, despite gushing comments from many congressmen that Johnson did the right thing, rest assured he didn't. My friends, one cannot forget that only approximately 10% of the Republican Congressional Caucus, and I use that word caucus in very loose terms, it makes me want to gag. Caucus. It's comprised of fiscally responsible, liberty-loving, truly conservative, patriotic Americans who actually do their dead-level best to put America and her people's inalienable God-given rights first every single day. But there's fewer and fewer of them. Only 10%? With regular betrayals such as these from so-called Republicans and the continued destructive efforts by Democrats to fundamentally transform America into a full-blown authoritarian state, Isn't it any wonder that many Americans are looking for alternatives to both parties? To this system, in fact? I wonder how many Americans are looking for alternatives to both parties? I think most Americans have given up. They're tuning in to get entertained, not to make a difference. Something I have screamed holy hell about for well over 28 years. To become aware, to become involved, deeply involved, not to tune in to get entertained, but to tune in to get the next bit of information that can be used to combat these rat bastards. And as far as I'm concerned, both parties are full of nothing but rat bastards. I've stated this on numerous occasions. I don't think there are five people in both houses of Congress that I would seriously consider even voting for. When you've got people like Pelosi and Schumer and God knows how many others that have been in office for so many years, so many decades. Come on, look at what's-her-name in California that died last year at the age of 94, who spent the last couple of years sitting in her public office. She couldn't even speak. She was so brain dead. I mean, she was done. I can't even think of what her name was. It's how little I care. As good as our federal system has been, for the most part, our increasingly immoral populace has made possible for its subversion, its manipulation, in such a manner as to create a new tyrannical government similar to the kind people feared most at the time leading up to our war for independence. And it would appear that the concerns of the anti-federalists were well-founded at the time of the Constitution's ratification, since we now have a tyrant wannabe in Traitor Joe who acts every bit as though he were king of America, without nary a fare thee well. But then, we all know the story about Traitor Joe. This guy can't even control his own urinary devices. I guarantee the guy's wearing diapers, peeing his pants all day long. Because he's being controlled by Barack and others. And boy, they sure got Kamana Wanaswala out there running her mouth a lot lately. That tells me the Democratic Party is beginning to realize more and more that Joey ain't going to make it. As if I can't even think of her real name. Because that's what I call her, Kamana Wanaswala. Come on, that's how she got her political start. Does that offend you? Too bad. Wake up. And in the meantime, we've got an ice cream slurping fool assuring us in his typical arrogant fashion on April the 10th of this year that we're better situated than we were when we took office, where inflation was skyrocketing. I don't know what delusion this jerk is under, but despite a slight dip in the inflation rate, the accumulated inflation since Joey first sat in the oral office is currently resting at 19%. Oh, the stock markets may be doing great due to all the government spending, but... Come on, people. All the government spending? You know, the economy that the average American faces each and every day is far from good for anyone, my friends. And yet Bidenomics economists continue to blow smoke up everyone's tuchus and assure us all that things aren't really more expensive. Oh, comparatively speaking. But the world we find, this is a lot more zeros in the accounting ledgers. and by way of a heavy hand and very little urging from the Marxists and the Maoists of his party. Joe Biden has essentially restricted innovations and new developments in every area that really matters. He gives preference to his plans to destroy gas-powered automobiles completely by 2035, replacing them with extremely unreliable and unwanted electric vehicles, even though this has been shown to be a disastrous pursuit that is largely unsound and untenable in every way, especially given the current state of our electric grid. His attacks on fossil fuels are resulting in steep energy costs, while he now pursues oil from America's enemies, placing us in a precarious national security situation. And adding insult to injury, Joey's now illegally forcing regular working men and women who didn't have the opportunity to attend college to pay off $153 billion in student debt loans for 4.3 million students who, for the most part, were already of well means from wealthier family situations. Well, they've just tossed equality into the law out the window. And they're promoting Biden supporters while taxing and hampering his opponents at every single turn in the road or the business world. Why don't you stay with us for a couple of minutes? I'm going to go for a quick dance with Kim. May go for a commercial break. We can handle that. Hope you're there, Mikey. And I guess we got a new ad we recorded for Sierra Madre. Let's see if you can run it. Pretty good one. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story. It's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
interesting, the number of people that text me while I'm on the air. My good friend, Michael Nesser, my doctor friend up in Canada, and Jerry, Diane Feinstein. They had to remind me that gal's name. There was a point, I think, that years ago, before she became whatever she was, senator, representative, I don't know, I don't even care, senator. She was on a city council in San Francisco or something. Some guy came in, he killed somebody. It's a damn shame he missed her. I know, that's not a very nice thing to say. But look what she brought us. Ridiculous. Absolutely re-damn-diculous. So we go back and take a look at this. This student loan thing has ticked me off. Biden's up to some other crap now. He's finding a bunch of so-called illegals that have been in this country for at least 10 years who are married to Americans. And they're still illegal. They still can't, they don't have green cards. And he wants to give them a free pass. I guess he figures he's going to get another God knows how many votes. Well, from an economic standpoint, today our national debt is clipping right at $35 trillion, and we keep spending $2 trillion more than we receive annually. And we raise our debt to GDP ratio to better than 120%. That is a level unseen since 1945. Even during our two-front war, during World War II, we somehow managed to keep our debt down to 50% of the GDP. The same groceries that cost consumers $100 as late as 2019 now cost $120 or a lot more. Gasoline jumped from between $1.86 in March of 2020 and $2.38 in December 2030 to $3.63 on an average under the Biden regime. Except that it ain't that cheap out here. I couldn't sleep last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got up, you know where I went. Drove by one of my Circle K's. All the Circle K's in this area are running up at 359, sometimes higher, sometimes a little lower. But there's one Circle K that's close to our house. I'm sorry, they weren't at 359. They're at 459. And son of a gun, the one that's closest to my house, who's finally determined that in order to jack up their business, because they sell more money with the stuff they sell inside, so they've lowered their gas price to $4.09. My granddaughter gets up this morning. She's got to get ready to go to work. Oh, got to go get Daddy. Going to go pick him up at Circle K, but not that Circle K. The other Circle K that's close to our house. They're sitting up at about $4.39. She could go to the other one and save 30 cents a gallon. Unbelievable. They're down at $4.09. And California right now? There's one city in California that's up in the mid $7 a gallon per gasoline. This is insane. All of this is expected to rise higher with Iran threatening to shut down the Strait of Hormuz over recent conflicts with Israel. And, of course, rent hits an all-time outrageous high, making it virtually impossible to find the most basic accommodations for less than about $2,000 a month. And in many cases, we find the worst housing market situation since the 1990s. 30-year mortgage rates, most usually at around 7.5% today or higher. Oh, but wait, folks. Wait for it. The Biden regime is asking for only a mere paltry $7.3 trillion budget for next year. I mean, with that much money, you could fill 550 Empire State Buildings with $10 burgers, as noted in a recent cartoon from Goodwin Cartoons, which, by the way, now seems to have vanished from the internet. Along with all of this comes a $5 trillion tax hike on corporations that everyone in their right mind knows without a shadow of doubt will be passed on to every poor and middle-class working stiff in America. Working stiff? We're all going to be stiff in death. Oh, yeah, folks, come on. Our national debt sits at $35 trillion. And if the out-of-control spending, driven and advocated by Biden and the bulk of Congress, stays its current course, we could easily see our national debt hit $40 trillion before the next president is thrown out of office in 2029. Some experts project that our national debt will be well over $50 trillion by 2033. And in the meantime, old Joey, ever ready and willing to take a good bribe, and his criminal cronies are robbing the nation blind at the expense of the everyday, ordinary American. Ah, yes, indeed. The Biden regime is for keeping the working man working. I mean, it has to keep him working in order to pay for all the new taxes coming down the D.C. pike straight into America's heartland. Or is that straight up America's wazoo? Without one single bit of concern over the ultimate effects. As noted early on by James Madison on America's Founding Fathers, Madison stated that power over the purse may, in fact, be regarded as the most complete and effectual weapon with which any constitution can arm the immediate representatives of the people for obtaining a redress of every grievance, and for carrying into effect every just and salutary measure. But you see, my friends, it doesn't do any good when Republicans have this power and refuse to use it for fear of repercussions in the arena of public opinion. Even when their cause is right and just, it's all as though they'd rather take the defeat than actually win for all Americans. And maybe take a few insults from our enemies from within. More than this, too often it actually seems as if they, too, have grown to love their spending packages every bit as much as the demon craps. With everybody tossing dollars around like so much candy for their special interest buddies and very few supporters, never really benefiting the average American and the little man in America. You know, just before Easter, a few weeks ago, the House passed a $1.2 trillion omnibus spending bill that once again handed the Democrats virtually everything on their wish list. Time and time again, it sure seems as though Speaker Johnson is prepared to just keep on betraying America, just as he recently did on America's border security, surrendering to the Democrat commies and the special interests in the D.C. swamp as he held out his hand to receive his silver. And in this sense, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is 100% right to seek Johnson's ouster, no matter what chaos may ensue. Betrayals must be answered with swift accountability, people, and consequences. And despite claims it will weaken the congressional Republicans, I believe it could actually strengthen them by gaining them a bit of respect for the refusal to tolerate business as usual and any further dismissal of the situation on the southern border. And here we sit. Hundreds of thousands of illegals, aliens, continue to pour across our wide open borders as we speak on this program tonight. And they're coming across both north and south. Surely to add several million more to the 30 to 40 million already here before Biden is all said and done, with so many in their ranks so damned ungrateful and belligerent. And already the new arrivals are demanding better food than what the shelters serve. While they also loudly complain, almost to the point of rioting some days, over being removed from luxury temporary lodgings in local hotels to shelters in the worst entitled manner. Just like so many pampered, coddled Americans who currently support the Democrat Party, demanding free stuff at the expense of other hardworking Americans. Most of them know very little English, if any. And so we just recently saw illegal aliens from the Congo in Africa demanding aid workers speak Congolese, even though it's a requirement that anyone seeking residency or citizenship in America must speak functional English. And currently, several U.S. cities are handing out taxpayer dollars to illegals in the form of cash assistance, along with the free food and the free housing. New York City has been handing out prepaid cash cards for several months now. That, according to Fox News and the New York Post, with each illegal receiving as much as $10,000. Fox News recently aired a segment where the New York City Council is preparing to vote on whether or not to hand their illegal alien population an additional $350 per week to each individual illegal. At a time when their own citizens, U.S. citizens, are struggling to make ends meet each day or thrown into homelessness themselves. And to see this happening anywhere in America is beyond the pale, and an unconscionable act that demands a future accounting from those who have perpetuated this man-made crisis to the detriment of all America. Friends, we, the normal, sane Americans who loved traditional America of years gone by, are currently facing the worst, most unhinged far left any America has ever faced in the past decades, on our streets and in Congress. Oh, they tell us Joey is just fine and an excellent orator. They tell us that global warming is going to destroy us all in a matter of a few short years to scam us out of more damn tax dollars. And they would also have us believe it's perfectly normal for someone to chop off their testicles for a sex change while suggesting that it's a housewife who can no longer afford all the groceries her family needs or needs a psychiatrist because she complained about Biden's terrible economy. But the fact that the flood of illegal aliens into the country has driven up the cost of rent in her neighborhood. And all these raghead, kaffir-wearing, fake-ass Palestinians currently chanting death to America need to get the hell out of America if they hate her so much. And for any who also happen to be illegals, I've got three words for the federal government and the American people. Deport, deport, and deport. And for those who might actually hold U.S. citizenship, exile, exile, and exile. Oh, we can think of a few people in the United States Congress that can be added to that list. No matter the issue that one cares to inspect, my friends, from abortion to gun control, far too many of America's so-called leaders are doing whatever they damn well please, no matter that their decisions may run contrary to their constituents' expressed desire and wishes. And those charged with ensuring a strong currency and a thriving economy and a secure border, along with energy independence, are knowingly destroying it, all in the name of their own short-term ambitions. And all patriotic Americans must come to terms with this and plan accordingly, because we aren't soon going to see any sudden reversal after 16 years of a hard left Marxist Maoist push by these traitorous bastards in all levels of government. Worth mentioning once again that our Constitution was originally intended to be implemented by a moral people. if given where we now stand as a society and all the manipulations that have turned the Constitution into more of a weapon against the people, more than any defense of our rights. My friends, we are in deep, deep trouble as a nation. And as the current coalition of minorities and special interests keep voting for corrupt people to perpetuate the pillaging of America's resources and wealth for their own benefit, there will be no end in sight for this madness. We're not going to be able to vote our way out of this mess. All across America, a quiet rage is building against the assault upon American values. More so than ever in the history of America, the concerns and the patience of its people are being tested and tried and attacked by a group of elitists that are hell-bent on the destruction of this country. It's time for you to refuse to remain silent. I'm talking about you, the listener, not just broadcasters, because broadcasters aren't being silent. But far too many of you who are listening are just tuning into the next program to hear what someone else has to say. Let me suggest to you that the only question remaining is how many more blatant betrayals of the American people and the country herself will it take? How much more pain and suffering inflicted upon the American people will it take before the American people rise up with rifles in hand and take to task those who have set America on the path to her own destruction and set her house on fire as if hit by a torrent of napalm? Justin Smith. It's been a while since Justin's submitted a new column. He's burnt out. He's angry. One of the best pieces he's written for quite a while. And I like his work. It's point blank. Oh, yes, it offends some people. Tough shit. Oh, did I apologize? Did I upset you with that choice of that word? It's too damn bad. If this is what it takes to awaken you, it's unbelievable. You got it, man. We're going to be closing out this hour with a very unusual song. And it's not one that I've shared in the past. I'm aware of it. But what the heck? It's interesting. Let me just suggest after this that what we are facing, according to Justin Smith, is the blatant betrayal of America. Boy, that sure hits the nail on the head. We're going to peel out of this hour with an interesting piece of music. We'll be back in a few minutes with a second hour, Perspectives on America.
Yeah. Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.